Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where unsolved true mysteries and cocktails collide. Yum, 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 yum. I'm joined always by the fantastic Chris.
Hello.
Hello. And Hello. Suze. Hello. How are you guys doing? You good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't really look after myself today very much. As in, I just got up and then went throughout the day. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're dressed,
really.
You look good.
What would be?
You're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah. What would be taking care?
Yeah. What's not taking care of yourself?
Grooming, I suppose.
What? Just.
He always looks groomed. This guy. Every time I see him, he looks groomed. I'm thinking to myself, you're saying he's not groomed. What are you talking about?
I like Goodfellas, Masood.
What are you talking about?
Every time I come here, this guy, he's groomed as fuck.
Die as fucking guy. This fucking
guy. The rocks. Oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Oh, oh my God. Look, who's just walking through
the door. Oh, my word. Who's that?
It's Ken Chang.
Hello.
Hey, Ken Chang.
Thanks for swinging by, man.
Yeah.
Just on the way back from your shop, your weekly shop.
Yep.
I thought you'd swing by for a drink.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
What do you got there? What do you got there, Ken? What do you
got? Got some squash.
Oh, yes.
I'm not a drinker, so I've gone for the squash.
Ah, fair enough.
And I've also,
that's all right.
Also got peppermint tea on the side. Ooh, got both hot and cold.
Yeah.
God damn, double fisting. This is crazy.
That counts as a cocktail.
Yeah, cocktail in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's sort of some sort of julep.
Do you swallow some squash and hold it in and get a little peppermint tea? And then shake your head like a cocktail shaker and then swallow it.
Yeah, I got fired from the bar I was working at.
Oh, God, sir?
Is that why you're in here? Are you in here for a job?
You can have one.
That's how you mix drinks. Yes, absolutely. Please, I need all the help I can get. What do you got there, Suze?
Well, I've made my version of a mojito. It's the best white rum you can buy. Bacardi. a squirt of Jif lime topped up with fizzy water. It's got some sugar in it, but I forgot to dissolve it. And also, instead of ice cubes, I've frozen some elderflower cordial. So that's gone in there.
That's a great
nice.
Idea.
Yeah, you freeze elderflower
really
cordial. It cools your drink down without watering it down, which, to be honest, this could have probably done with.
I also have I've got white rum.
Ooh.
In my
Have you got a Bacardi?
Yeah, no, I haven't, but...
Oh, gutted.
Mott Rock's completists might remember that I hate white rum.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, whereas this one is slightly different. The BrewDogs sell it and distribute it, and it's called 500 Cuts.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like a botanicals thing.
I see.
And then I've used that to make a palmetto.
Our BrewDog, your sponsors.
No. No, we haven't got any. We haven't got any sponsors, Ken.
You should get them.
Do you wanna?
I mean,
would you like to
the Ken Chang Mystery on the Rocks podcast?
Oh man, I would happily be sponsored. I like that. That's such a great title, Ken Chang's Mystery on the Rocks podcast.
I have to drive around in my car with like Ken Chang stickers down the side of it and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, a big car with like that's in the shape of you. Like for some reason, just like a big shaped car. Just drive. No aerodynamics. Just like
great big Ken head on the top.
Yeah, like bouncing. Just like bouncing.
And I get out of my car and just shrug at strangers and go, "I never lose it in the car park." And they're like,
that's such a fucking 90s sitcom.
Who ate all my cheese?
What are you drinking, Masood?
I have a deconstructed Mary, which is it's very nice. I thought it would be dreadful, but it's really nice.
Did you invent it?
So you got No. This is from a book.
Okay.
So it's vodka and fresh, like muddled tomato juice, And then I made celery salt rim, lemon floating on top with a horseradish in there.
A whole horseradish?
Yeah, yeah, just sat in there. No, a little bit of horseradish paste.
That's crazy. This cocktail sells this bananas.
This guy's fucking crazy. Ooh. This guy making his deconstructed Mary.
You know he's made a deconstructed Mary, and that ain't a joke about his wife, and don't make that joke around him. No, what I'm saying.
You should have saved the deconstructed Mary for Jack the Ripper when we do Jack the Ripper.
It can come back. It can come back. We're all drinking different drinks. It doesn't matter.
That's it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. We are having to make our own.
Plus, if someone is keeping score and will get mad at me for making the same drink twice, shame on you.
You made a bijou. I've done a palmetto again.
Yes, that's true.
Desperate times. We're in lockdown, yeah, you know. Exactly. We can't.
It's my second mojito in two episodes, but the last week it was a Diane Abbott tinned one.
She might sponsor the show.
Yeah, let's get Diane. Yeah,
Diane sponsors the show.
I reckon Diane would do our podcast.
What have you got for us today, Chris? What's on the
course? Oh, today. Actually, do you know what? I shouldn't have been so dismissive about you saving the deconstructed Mary for Jack the Ripper, because it kind of fits with this one.
Ooh.
Tenuous links are my specialty.
Very, very tenuous. It's very tenuous. This one's the Gatton murders.
Gatton.
Anyone familiar with the Gatton murders? Ken, do you know the Gatton murders?
G-A-T-O-N.
Suze?
Double T.
G-A-T-T-O-N. Double T.
Gatton.
Yeah.
Where's Gatton?
Gatton is 61 miles west of Queensland's capital, Brisbane.
Oh, it sounds like it would be near, like, Staines or something.
Yeah. Come down to Gatton.
Well, actually, it's not far from an Ipswich.
Oh, well, good for it.
Not the Ipswich.
It's very far.
It's really disappointing that the Ipswich gets to lay claim to being the Ipswich.
Especially if you've been there.
Oh, Christ.
I've been to Ipswich a few times, and it's where I sliced my head open.
Is it?
So I had to have 10 staples in my head.
Guys, Chris had a Birdman injury. Remember Birdman? Best picture 2015, I think.
And a
light fell on Chris's head, like in Birdman.
It was a stage light sort of sliced my head.
I remember
And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been to Ipswich 3 times. That was the best time I've ever been to Ipswich. And I spent 2.5 hours in A&E. That was my only ever visit to A&E.
Really?
And I was in and out in 2.5 hours.
That's pretty good.
The NHS are brilliant. Well, get your hands off them, Richard Branson.
Yeah.
Hey.
You've been warned, Richard. You've been warned.
The latest news is he's put his island up as collateral. And people are like, well, just sell your fucking island then.
Yeah, just sell it, mate.
He said, I'll put my island up. I'll pay you back, government. We'll sell your island if it's so valuable.
It's probably dripping in evidence of Jeffrey Epstein stuff. And he's like, I really can't sell it. This is
Branson's like, every grain of sand is an indictment on me. It's just covered in DNA.
Oh my god.
He's hoping Prince Andrew buys it.
I reckon all the bodies are wearing wedding dresses as well.
Oh Christ.
Oh.
You imagine that you buy an island, you're like, I bought an island, and you open like a floorboard in the house that you're redoing, you're like, Jesus Christ.
It'll be a great episode on this podcast though.
Yeah, to be fair.
5 years down the line.
So we've got the Gatton murder. Oh, yeah, so we're by an Ipswich, which is one in Australia, did you say?
Yeah, Gatton's in Queensland. Michael Murphy, he was age 29, and his younger sisters, Nora, who was 27, and Teresa, who were 18, they were killed on either Boxing Day or the day after that in 1898.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they were returning home from a dance that they'd all gone to that turned out to have been cancelled and they didn't know. So they got all the way there. It was cancelled.
Oh,
they were like, oh, let's go home, but they never made it home. And then it was the next morning.
Because it was pre-mobile phones.
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember when you go somewhere, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, you just had, back in the day, where you just had to get somewhere and say that you were meeting your friend at that time and be there. And if they weren't there, you just had to go home.
Or wait, and you'd wait for fucking ages.
I would wait for hours.
I thought about that the other day. I went. I remembered a time when I was 13 and I went swimming with a friend of mine. And I took a little bit longer getting changed than they did because they just put their clothes on over their wet swimming stuff.
I used to do that. It's weird. Terrible.
And when I came out, I was like, where are they? They're not anywhere to be seen. And we couldn't have mobile phones to find out where they were. So I waited about an hour and a half. Then I went home myself. And then I rang them. And then I rang them on the landline like you used to. And it turns out that they just got... Because they just put their clothes on over their wet stuff. And they'd waited 5 minutes and they were like, oh, well, he's obviously gone. And then they'd gone home.
Oh, you wait for an hour. And also no phone. So you would have been waiting for an hour and a half inside your own head.
Mm-hmm.
You know how terrifying that is? We've all been there when our phone runs out of batteries. What a horrible place to be.
Obviously, I did that. And I don't remember what it was like.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I obviously did something to pass the time. Maybe I just went and got loads of... Do you remember those cheeseburger-flavoured quarterback crisps from the vending machines? Maybe I just got loads of them. They were like 10p a bag.
There's nothing to do except eat.
Yeah.
Welcome to lockdown.
What about you, Ken? You ever been in prison?
I can't go longer than 25 seconds without checking notifications on my phone. So. I've been screwed.
It is the worst. So, like, the idea of getting to an event only to be like, yeah, sorry. And this is in Queensland in Australia, right? Australia, everything is far. So they would have been like, it would have taken like a day to walk there.
Well, they didn't they didn't walk. Michael borrowed his brother-in-law's, borrowed his sulky. Do you know what a sulky is?
It's what my mum used to call me when I was being a little cunt when I was about five. She's just gone to bed so she couldn't hear me.
At 7:20.
Yeah. She's sick of me recording podcasts in the lounge, and only because I've got my headphones in, all she hears is me going, yeah, my horrible voice.
So, have you been to Australia, Ken, by the way?
I've never been. Never done it.
But you, have you been, you know, you are aware of how large and vast
I've seen it on a map.
Do you know what a sulky is?
No.
No.
I've heard it before, though. I have heard of it. What is it?
A sulky is those two-wheel carts that horses pull.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Mm.
So so Michael borrowed his brother-in-law's sulky, and then he and Nora and Teresa, they all went to this dance, got there. Turns out it was cancelled, and so they went back, but they never returned home.
This sounds like the shittest life. They're like, Ken, we've got a day in the dance. And they get down there like... now the dance is cancelled. And then they have to just go all the way home.
I guess we better get back in the sulky, go back home. Oh, now the horses are gone.
Bollocks. You're going to have to pull the sulky.
Ah, mate. Ah, oh, this sucks.
I can't do Australian. The only way I can do Australian is do Hannah from Neighbours, who just used to go, no.
So they get to the dance. They can't go. They turn the sulky around. They get sulky.
Oh, yeah.
They jump in the sulky. They turn around, go back.
Michael had left home, but he was back. He was back home for the Christmas holidays. Because bearing in mind, this is Christmas. Ugh.
Oh God!
What kind of dance happens on Boxing Day? Do people start having a social life on Boxing Day again?
A cancelled dance. Like, that's the kind of dance that happens then.
Can you imagine them on Christmas Day as well? Like, I've given you a bag of nuts, and then tomorrow night it's the dance, and I think it's like all they could talk about was doing up the sulky all nice and going down the dance, and then it got cancelled. It's the worst life.
You just kill yourself after that. You just be like, well, there's nothing worth living for. Just kill yourself.
1896, I'm done.
So they jump back in, they're heading back. This is over the Christmas holidays.
So, this is why they were either murdered on Boxing Day or the day after, because on Boxing Day, they didn't return.
Mm-hmm.
The brother-in-law whose sulky it was called William McNeil. Okay.
William McNeil. Not
so you know how you write O'Neill, right? Yeah. Instead of the O, it's an M.
It's an M.
M apostrophe Neil. It's weird.
It's like a typo.
It sounds like a mistake.
Yeah. Like, it's on the thing now. It's on there. I can't
So McNeil is the actual name.
Okay.
Right.
McNeil went out to find them, to look for them. And he was able to detect the unique tracks of his own sulky because it had a wobbly wheel.
It had a wobbly wheel, and there's evidently nothing to do in that town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, all the tricks.
Follow the tracks along a rough, winding trail through Wattle Scrub for about almost a mile, three quarters of a mile. And then
I love the
found...
Australians' names for stuff. Wattle Scrub?
I mean,
that
scrub.
Is incredible.
And then he found their bodies.
Christ.
He thought they were sleeping initially, and then he went, oh no, they're covered in ants.
They can't possibly be sleeping if they're
covered in ants.
They'd be wide awake.
He found them almost 2 kilometres away from Gatton. Michael and Teresa were lying back to back within 2 feet from each other, so they were not observing.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
They were lying back to back.
Lying
back
to back.
Yeah. So they would have both been on their sides, but back to back.
Yeah. So they're both facing the other way.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's unsettling.
And then Nora, who was closer in age to Michael, she was 27. Nora lay in the same east to west orientation on a neatly spread rug that was covered in blood, and she was 28 feet to the east of them. Both women had their hands tied behind their backs with handkerchiefs, and weirdly forming a triangle with them. So like the Michael and Teresa were at one point, and then Nora was at another point, and then at the third point forming a triangle was the Sulky.
Got a mathematician.
I love how Ken is you're a mathematician. Yeah, I love how you're drawing it. You're like, okay.
I'm fully drawing it for myself.
Talking
song.
Right angle, triangle, or isosceles.
So the Sulky was 17 and a half feet away from Michael and 36 feet away from Nora.
So that wouldn't make an isosceles?
Mm.
The horse, sorry about this, guys, had been shot in the head.
Oh my god.
Was he shot in the head?
No witnesses.
Was it suicide?
The horse knows.
The three bodies, all their legs were arranged with the feet pointing west.
Wow.
Oh, so they really had been arranged? Because it does sound like
they had been arranged. And the but this behaviour has never been repeated in Australian crime. So that itself is what makes it so odd as well.
Ooh.
They're sort of like, well, why did they do that? And why it's not, if it was a serial killer, that killer never did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how they were found. And it's never been solved. No one knows who did it or why.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for coming on, Ken.
And credits. Mystery
on the road. Okay, so did they? I assume some sort of investigation took place, because this is terrifying. It's kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's really weird to, especially in a small town like Gatton, where they're like, mate, we only have 2 sulkies and 6 horses. Nothing happens around here.
Can I, this isn't a theory, but can I guess something that is about to be revealed?
You can, yeah.
The police fucked up.
Royally.
Yeah.
Like, we have, it's an ongoing thing in our mysteries that the police fuck up. The police couldn't have fucked up more. This is the worst case of it that we've ever had on this podcast.
Madeline McCann levels of... They messed up his police.
Investigating officers did not arrive for 48 hours.
Oh, my God.
And
so I picture them eating egg buddies over the bodies.
What's this weird triangle shit? That's just moving around. This is too weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I move those bodies, mate. It's creeping me out. I don't like the fact they're in a triangle.
So investigating officers didn't arrive until 48 hours after the discovery. The bodies were moved to Gilbert's Hotel.
That's nice, though.
And then at 4 p.m., Dr. von Lossberg, who was the government medical officer at Ipswich Way.
Dr. von Lossberg? Is he the great grandfather of, like, I don't know, a Nazi scientist?
I don't know. That's not mentioned.
Don't hold that against him, Masood.
He has a supervillain name. That's all I'm saying. Von Lossberg.
And he performed an autopsy. And so he'd been struck with a blunt instrument on the right side of the head, Michael had. Teresa had her skull fractured by 2 blows to the left side of her head, and the wounds and the positions of the bodies when found indicated that Michael and Teresa were sitting upright and back to back when they'd been
struck
around the head. Yeah,
so
which is why they ended up lying on their back to back. Nora had also been struck on the left side of her head, pulverizing her skull to the extent that her brain was protruding.
Oh, jeez.
In addition, she'd had a harness strap tied around her neck, which was tight enough to have caused death, so they assume that's how she died.
Oh. Yeah.
They got exhumed. The bodies got exhumed a while later because
right.
they thought that the investigation was lacking, and it was only in that secondary investigation that they realised that for some reason the autopsy had missed the fact that Michael had been shot in the head.
Gee, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big... What about this hole there? I wouldn't worry about that. He probably had that before he got struck.
Well, no, it was because he'd been beaten around the head afterwards to disguise a bullet wound.
Oh, cool. Oh, so there was a hole, so he'd been shot, and then they'd
beaten the wounds.
Hole. Right.
Yeah. Jeez.
But the reason...
That's
excessive. Yeah, right?
It feels a little bit like, and stay down.
Yeah, done it.
Always put one in the brain. Do they know what kind of bullet it was? No real ballistics then. This is Gatton. What am I talking about?
And also, bearing in mind, I mean, like they'd fucked everything up to that point. They were just like, oh, Andy's been shot. Why I said it was probably a little bit... tenuous, that link back to Jack the Ripper, is that there is a conspiracy about this mystery that the police know exactly who did it and were covering it up, and that's why the investigation was so bad.
It was Jack the Ripper.
He flew over. Let's remind the viewers that Azusa's drank a pint of mojito.
Not yet, hang on.
Now she has. skulls, there she goes.
Down.
Hey, do you know what? It's such a shame that we do these episodes on our sofas now, because it means Suze will never fall off.
I might do.
So they reckon it was somebody who... they were protecting. The police were like covering it up.
That's what. Yeah, that's the conspiracy theory, that it was a someone of privilege, or just somebody known, and that the police knew about, and they didn't want to act on it.
Yeah.
Moneil. I assume that's how it's pronounced. I don't know whether I'm sort of, maybe it's Moneil. I don't know, but Moneil, right?
Yale.
When he found the bodies, he contacted the sergeant who was in charge of the police at Gatton.
Yeah.
Contacted him at 9:15 a.m. on the 27th of December. Both men went to the crime scene, where they remained for half an hour before the sergeant returned to Gatton to send a telegram to the Brisbane Commissioner of Police. But he took no notes while he was at the scene.
Of course not. It's all up here, mate. It's all up here. That's where it starts. Up in the old noggin.
He didn't interview anybody present, and he made no effort to protect the site from the large number of people who had congregated. Because when he'd gone to... Because obviously, the thing is, again... this sounds obvious, but it was before mobile phones. Mm. When Moneil found the bodies, he couldn't just ring up the police. He had to go to the nearest settlement. Mm. When he got there, he said to everybody, oh, you're not going to believe what I just found. So then obviously everyone started going.
That's some class police work right there. Guys, there's bloody three bodies up there, and they're all pointing different directions, and there's a broken sulky, and you can take that if you want. That's anyone's. that's fucking fair game.
Do you reckon he would have been really, like, he would have been like, oh, God, you're not going to believe the day I've had. So found my brother-in-law, his two sisters, dead, and you're not going to believe what they did to my sulky.
Bloody wheels fucked, mate. Itchy.
Do you know what? I'm never borrowing it out again.
Part of the reason, and it is his fault, but part of the reason that it took so long for anybody to arrive is because, first of all, he didn't make any notes at the scene. He didn't do anything to protect it, and neither did he interview any of the people that had congregated or anything like that. He just decided the best thing to do, because this was above his pay grade, I think he thought, so he's going to get in touch with the Brisbane Commissioner of Police. So he sent a telegram and he said, mark it urgent. But he was told that the police had no authority to send urgent telegrams.
Oh.
Right, now that's bollocks. That was incorrect. They were able to, but he didn't know that. So he just got told he couldn't. And he went, okay then.
These bunglers.
Oh my God.
So he waited for the reply instead of returning immediately to the site. So instead of like going back to the site immediately, he was like, oh, I've sent the telegram now. I'll wait for whatever happens. And the telegram was delivered to the Brisbane Police Headquarters at 12:52 p.m. on the same day. So they found the bodies at 9... Well, He'd been contacted, the sergeant, at 9:15, and then at 10 to 1 in the afternoon, that's when the telegram arrived. But it was a Christmas holiday, so it wasn't open until 9 a.m. until the next day.
Oh, open it! You're the police.
Oh my god, that's the worst.
Bloody.
So that's why it took like 48 hours before any investigating officers arrived.
Okay.
2 working days.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get an invoice paid. You're just like, oh, come on.
So like 1896. In Australia.
1898
in Australia. Australia's very new at this point, isn't it? If that makes
sense. Newish.
Only for the white people, obviously. But like Australia.
It just appeared.
Yeah. It's
Richard
like
Branson.
Before that, it was basically just like a barren land, right? Yeah, Branson's been at it. But like 1898, essentially for the invaders, which is us.
You speak for yourself, Seuss. Ken and I are completely clean of all of this historically.
Yes, Seuss. Ken, Masood, and I are completely clean of all of this.
I can't believe it. It's just me. It was the Jews again. no, but like, it was essentially the Wild West, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
So, very new, yeah. Quite lawless. I can't find when white people first started invading Australia, but I'm guessing it was a few years before 1901. When they put in a rule.
I'm pretty sure it was like, wasn't it discovered by white people in the 1770s?
I think so.
But when were we, like, because obviously 1492 was when.
1788.
Reset. 1788. Chris, you nailed it.
Yes.
That's the first fleet of British ships.
Okay.
To when they first brought the
Do you want to know how I know that?
Yeah.
It's when I was waiting for my friend to come out of the swimming bath changing room. There was an encyclopedia, and I just.
Chris there with an encyclopedia going, you can't be alone with this little baby.
So we're very early in Australia's young history, and you know, so there's not very much happening. It sounds like, yeah, like you. So your point, Suze, is that, you know, it's very frontier land. So everybody's
kind of.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like, especially if they're like borrowing sulkies and going to dances that get cancelled. It just sounds very like the Wild West.
Well, what if they were lured to this dance to kill them?
It wasn't cancelled.
And there was never an actual dance.
Oh my god.
The reason that's a bit risky is that what if somebody else had wanted to tag along?
Well, they would have killed all of them.
What business would they have had with Teresa? Teresa was a teenager. Why didn't we kill Teresa?
Yeah.
Maybe there was going to be a dance and it got cancelled, and whoever was in it was just so pissed, so frustrated. They were like, you know what? I just want to kill someone. And
yeah.
These three sharp are like, oh, you know, I'll kill those three.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like John Lithgow in Footloose. He's like, I can't shake, I won't hear of it, and he killed him.
I like to think that the murderers, one of them went too far and like to make it look legit, to sell the idea of it being cancelled. He's like putting up, and he's got like booze, and they're inside. What the fuck are you doing? Well, I got the party just in case they come in. No, we're gonna cancel it, and then we're gonna kill them. Are you out of your? Why did you even? How much
did
it even cost?
You think there was more than one?
Potentially, it feels like a more than one person deal.
Yeah,
really?
He's doing
interesting.
Yeah.
Three people and a horse, and they had to take down that sulky, which is rapidly becoming the most personality-filled thing of this entire story.
There were suspects.
So the sulky was there, by the way. We know that the sulky was left at the scene, or it was taken.
Yeah, the sulky
was broken up.
Oh yeah.
The saddest part of this tale.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in a movie when they get one person to dig like a grave, they're like, go on, start digging. And you see it, and they're like, they've dug like a 6-foot grave straight down. It takes a digging machine like 3 hours to do that. But in the film, they're like, get a couple of shots.
Straight away.
Yeah, no fucking way. So yeah, I think it's more than one person. But yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There were some suspects. So several people, including family members, came under suspicion for the crime, but after a 5-month investigation, no one was charged.
Okay.
But then, of course, the Queensland Police massively failed their investigation.
Did you do it? No. All right, fine. Did you do it? No.
So the failure of the police to solve the crime led to accusations of cover-ups, rumours of incest within the Murphy family.
Oh, God.
But these claims were never resolved. So one of the suspects was a guy called Richard Burgess, who had been recently discharged from prison, and he was a vagabond who lived in the bush.
Okay.
Right.
But he had an alibi, unfortunately, so he was very quickly
He was holding a dance of his own.
What I want to know is, what alibi did that bush vagrant have?
Oh, yeah, what? So they don't tell you what it is.
Who vouched for him living alone in the bush?
Or he's got a hell of a lawyer.
Ask that fucking squirrel, mate.
Crazy old Richard. Oh, he couldn't possibly have done it. Guess what he was doing at the time? And he was like, just sort of dancing on his own naked in the wilderness, going...
If we have any listeners in or from Australia, we're very sorry. We're doing these accents very, in a very cavalier way.
You know, because my favourite podcast is Last Podcast on the Left, and this week they've been doing the Yorkshire Ripper, and their Yorkshire accents are causing me, like, internal hemorrhaging. They're painfully bad. One of them said, oh, the Yorkshire accent, it sounds like... they're American, by the way, readers. And it sounds like sort of like Mrs. Doubtfire in a chimney sweep, and I'm shouting at my computer going, no, it doesn't! I'm not even from Yorkshire.
Well, we better question Crazy Henry. Yeah, you can ask me friends! And then points to like a bunch of rocks with googly eyes on them. Yeah, you know what? It's cool. We won't. Yeah, sounds like
I
you had an alibi. Don't worry
about it. Weren't you, fellas? And then they like they just keeps cutting between the rocks and Richard all looking suspiciously at each other, shifty eyes like doom, doom, doom.
I'd love it if the police end up talking to the rocks and saying, "Is this guy bothering you?"
You could do this the easy way or the hard way. Okay, Mr. Rock.
Looks like we're stuck between a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So they question these peeps and they turn up nothing. Bush guy, bush vagrant.
Bush vagrant. He had an alibi, which I love.
Surprisingly.
And then there was a guy called Thomas Day, and he was a stranger to Gatton. And he was working for the local butcher at the time of the murders.
Ooh.
Okay.
Police found blood on his clothing.
But it could have been.
But in 1898, there was no way of testing whether or not it was human blood or blood.
They just had to ask him what it was from, and he went, this could be anything. And they went, probably just animal.
Yeah. Oh, like what? Like a pig? Yeah, if you want.
Okay, then it's a pig. Maybe we should question him more. Maybe we should shut the hell up.
A.G. Clark, he was the butcher's. He told Thomas Day not to wash a particular jumper after the murders. But a day or two later, he washed it and boiled the jumper twice and scrubbed it with a scrubbing brush.
He's just a really clean boy.
Yeah.
But no further action was taken against Thomas Day. And then a few weeks later, he quit his job and left.
Right. Okay. Here's my theory. It was Thomas Day.
Yeah. Seems quite suspicious.
I have a theory about Thomas Day that isn't that he did it, but that he was one of the many people present. Like Masood said, there was more than one person.
Oh. Do you think this is one of those things where it's like a local prominent politician or landowner or something?
It's a cult.
They did it. Oh. Yeah, maybe.
I'm getting serious. I got serious cult vibes.
Like Hot Fuzz. Ooh. Hot Fuzz vibes.
Thomas Day will come back into the story a little bit later.
Yay!
But what proceeded to happen was that the crime caused massive outrage around the whole country. Like,
went viral. Went viral.
Almost. Yeah. It went. It went viral.
Made Kony 2012 look like a fucking joke.
What became the big story wasn't just the crime itself. It was the terrible investigation. And the fact that the police apparently released one suspect without interrogation, without comprehensive interrogation.
Oh,
and it later, the following year, bearing in mind, it was the last days of 1898 anyway, but in 1899, it became the subject of a royal commission.
Okay. What's that?
It's...
Queen likes it.
Yeah, well, they had to look into it, I suppose. Daniel Murphy was a brother... while Michael, Nora and Teresa, they were all siblings, there was another sibling called Daniel. And he was a police officer at the police headquarters. And he received a telegram from a family friend on the 27th of December informing him of the murders. So he applied for 3 days leave. He had it granted and he attempted to catch the 1 p.m. train to Gatton, but he missed it. So he went back to the headquarters.
Waiting for 3 weeks for the next
one. I will see you in February.
Imagine how many packets of Quarterback's cheeseburger flavoured crisps he would have gotten through waiting for that train.
He's like, I've gone all the way up to F in the encyclopedia.
And so he went back to the headquarters. He went to the criminal investigation branch, but no action was taken by the detectives as a rumour was circulating that the murders were a hoax.
What? No.
Oh, God, there were Gatton truthers.
And another thing, the Earth's flat, mate. Oh, for fuck's sake.
So he missed the 1 p.m. train. He eventually got on the 5 p.m. train. And then when an inspector called Urquhart, who I'm pretty sure was the detective in the Tim Burton Batman film that the Joker kills at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the guy.
Urquhart, think about the future. Bang.
I'm going to look that scene up.
He was head. Urquhart was head of the CI branch in Brisbane. He opened the telegram from the sergeant. He opened it. He took no action as he'd heard the rumours were a hoax and had not been officially informed that there had been a murder. So at 4 p.m, he was informed that the murders were not a hoax. But as the information did not come through official channels, he didn't inform the commissioner until 9 p.m.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, the police.
This fucking town.
The commissioner ordered Urquhart to immediately take two detectives to Gatton, but despite a train leaving Brisbane at midnight, the team did not leave until 7:30 the following morning, which was by now the 29th of December.
Oh, they sound Jesus. Like Chief Wiggum and...
and Lou and Eddie?
Yeah.
It must have been so easy to say, this is a hoax, and everyone just go, okay.
Yeah.
Right? How, like, this town, they'd just be like, yeah, all right, I guess.
Oh, but like, there isn't even a Gatton.
Do you want to know the Royal Commission's findings?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They found, you're not going to believe this. They found the sequence of events incomprehensible, indicative of a rotten system of policing and a culpable indifference on the part of the inspector to his duty to the public.
Right.
They could
so
have asked
just...
someone in the street for that.
Exactly.
Okay. Testimony.
It's just me, age 15, when I went to the cinema to watch Mulholland Drive.
That's your review?
I came out at the end of it and went, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's
great
just
lesbian scene. Rest of it, nothing. Yeah. What's going on?
Don't know all that was about. Yeah, that's me. That's the Royal Commission. They're me watching Mulholland Drive when I was 15.
And so it was a national scandal, the investigation was, as well as the murder. Because obviously, you know, I imagine people would want the murderer bringing to justice when they hear what he'd done.
Yeah,
of course.
And stuff.
It's gruesome as well. It's gruesome as hell.
And so at this point, Thomas Day comes back in. Okay. Because in 1900... he killed himself.
Oh,
he was admitted to hospital with a self-inflicted gun wound to the head, and he left a suicide note.
A gun wound.
Oh shit! Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
So, and also, he died at Sydney Hospital, but he died under, he was going by a different name at this point. He was going by the name Theo Farmer. So once he'd left Gatton, he changed his name.
It's the most made up name I've ever heard. It's me, Theo Farmer.
Yeah. Did you look at something while you were making up the name?
Yeah. Yeah. My name, it's Radiator Wall.
I have what's written on his suicide note here. They didn't release all of it, which is telling.
Redacted.
So it said, just a few words wishing to inform the public about the Gatton murder.
To close.
Which I suppose or hope will be found out when I am no more. I am going to my long rest, but still, before I leave the world, I wish to state what I know for a certain fact, ellipses. And then nothing. They don't release what was in that letter. And they said, the letter then apparently went on to give a statement relating to several individuals around the murders. This wasn't published, so it is unknown who Thomas Day possibly pointed the finger at. Which, again, implies this sort of, like, cover-up about the police knew who it was, the authorities knew who it was.
Jesus.
And then it's got the ending of the letter intact, which is, I know the public may wonder, but I don't wonder, as I am quite sure the case was to be kept quiet among the police, which I think is about time they were shown up. And that was his suicide note, and then he killed himself.
They got him. He wrote it and by candlelight with a quill.
But
there's something,
you know, you have these things about the conspiracies and like, oh, he was a spy, he was a spook, and the government got him and whatever.
Yeah, which are my theories most of the time.
But that's like, that's terrifying when we live in the age of information and they're covering that up. This is eminently plausible at this point in time, isn't it?
Yeah.
The police could have just gone, get rid of him.
Like, who's gonna? We're the ones investigating it, and we do a terrible job, and everyone knows that. So then we'll just kill him, and we'll use our own incompetence to cover up the fact that we killed this guy.
So that that letter was published in the Western Australian newspaper on the 27th of October, 1900.
Amazing.
Oh, they got him.
He died on the 25th of October, so that was 2 days later. 2 days after he died, that letter got published in the newspaper.
How convenient.
So that's why my theory was that he wasn't responsible, but he knew who was.
He couldn't live with it,
but it also explains why he left town as well.
And changed his name to The Farmer.
That's like a
sleazy guy going up to women and saying, "Call me the O Farmer."
And women are like, "I'm not sure I get it." And then he does an act out like, you know, I'm pulling the crops like, "Oh, dude, come on, man, that's
trust me. One night with me, and I'll have farmed all your O's." And the woman's like already booking a cab.
If ever he has a bad night, he can just say, "Oh, fucking rabbit took all my O's." Another suspect has come to light, but in more recent years.
Okay.
How recent?
2013.
Whoa, 2013.
That's
recent. Oh, bloody hell. He must have been really old by the time.
The last living testimony.
A writer called Stephanie Bennett, she named a guy called Joe Quinn as the man she felt was responsible for the Gatton murders in her book. She discovered Joe Quinn while she was researching names of criminals in the Gatton area, and when she dug deeper, she became convinced it was him that had done it. He had over 300 aliases.
That's excessive.
Too many.
In Gatton as well, where there's like 80 people.
Joe, we know it's you.
He was what's known as a swag man, which is just a labourer who walks from farm to farm.
So he
walks to a farm and he goes, "Need any help?" Does some work, gets some money, walks off to another farm.
He's a temp.
He's a farm temp.
And he had a habit of being on the wrong side of the law. He was a key player in some strikes that happened, which brought him into a run-in with Michael Murphy, who was one of the victims.
Oh,
of course.
Fuck.
Okay.
Fuck. I love this.
Ken got really into that.
Yeah.
It all comes together.
It does sound good.
Yeah, narratively, this is one of our more pleasing ones. And
it's better than last week's, where it was like, there are no leads, no one knows who did it, and it's sad. And we're like,
oh. To be fair, last week I only picked it because it had a Columbo connection. Yeah. In hindsight, it was a bad idea.
No, there were many directions to go in, and we went in all of them.
Apparently, Michael Murphy had revealed that he knew that Quinn was a known felon while he was masquerading, while Quinn was pretending to be a barber, while Quinn was like working as a barber under an assumed name. And basically Murphy had apparently gone, it's Joe Quinn, he's a criminal,
and they're like, who's Joe Quinn? That's a scissor cut.
Stephanie Bennett proposes that Joe Quinn apparently never forgave Michael Murphy for that.
Yeah,
and then
he had to dispose of that pair of glasses with the big nose and the mustache on it, and that was his killer disguise. Yeah. He had to get rid of it. Expensive.
Apparently, he'd gone to prison after being revealed as criminal Joe Quinn, and while he was in prison, he plotted revenge while locked up.
Plenty of time to think. No encyclopedia, no crisps. Yeah. Got to do something.
Was he free at the time of the murders? Then was he out?
Apparently. The thing about this is that while it as puzzle pieces, it all fits beautifully, but. There's still, I mean, like, it happened over 100 years ago. So while it's a lovely theory, there's not really that much to back it up.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know, about the fact that if Michael Murphy had a run-in with him and then outed him as a criminal, that it stands to reason that that's motive. That is definitely motive.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got carried away, He got carried away. He was like, oh, I'm plotting my revenge. Also, I'll just, like, murder the sisters, arrange them in a triangle. I'll shoot all the head.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like,
actually,
I'm
do you know what?
Whichever, freak out the town.
Whichever way you slice it, if he'd have gone, I'm gonna get Michael Murphy. How best to get him? I know he likes a bit of a bop. I'll make this fake dance. And then he brought his sisters. Oh shit! He's brought his sisters along. I better do them as well. Fuck, and the horse. Jesus Christ!
Horses.
Fucking hell! This is all getting. I don't like the way.
I
don't like them lying like that. I'm gonna put one of them over there. I'm gonna smash up this sulky.
He doesn't want that sulky talking.
But if it is Joe Quinn, how does Thomas Day come in? How do they know each other?
That's a very good point. Because the thing I think about Thomas Day is that he must have known who did it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why? I mean, he wrote the letter. Unless he wrote the letter to absolve himself. He couldn't live with having done it himself and then wrote the letter to point the finger that it might have been somebody else and that he knew, I don't know. But even that seems a bit dodgy. You'd just kill yourself, wouldn't you, without mentioning it? Unless you wanted to clear your conscience. But if you wanted to clear your conscience, you'd say that you did it.
And also you wouldn't kill yourself. Like,
yeah. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense with that, which is why I think Thomas Day was probably innocent, but he knew who had done it.
But why would the police cover up Joe Quinn he's not a person of privilege, he's just a random criminal.
Yeah, but it might be their incompetence that led him to do it, and they wanted to cover that up.
This happens a lot even today.
So the final one, even though we've already touched on it, is the fact that it was a Jack the Ripper kind of situation, and the conspiracy is that it might not have been royalty, they knew who had done it, but it wasn't in their interests to nail them so in 1901, so that was 3 years, well, 2 and a bit years later, the newspaper, the Singleton Argus, wrote that the man responsible was known and had been locked away in an asylum already.
It was clickbait. I didn't have Twitter back then. It was all like, okay, I've got this story, I've got a scoop.
Yeah. And then underneath that it's like, here are 5 celebrities who won't believe what they look like now. What?
And there's Joe Quinn with his glasses and moustache. No, I knew he'd do it like that.
This is from the newspaper article in 1901. It says, the newspaper claims this. The Gatton mystery is, of course, no mystery to the Queensland authorities. It will be remembered how the police suddenly stopped all investigation. No useful purpose could be served by proceeding with the matter. The why and wherefore need not be published.
Oh,
so they're just like, we all know about it, mate.
And the fact that the person was known insane and has now been locked up in an asylum, the fact has been charitably kept from the knowledge of the general public. It is, however, reassuring to know that the perpetrator of the triple murder is a lunatic. That's a direct quote. Wow, this is probably the last that will be heard of a tragedy that shocked Australasia and received a worldwide notoriety. That was from the Singleton August in August 1901. That seems to me like brown-nosing the authorities.
Yeah.
Or the newspaper was in the pocket of whoever wanted that put out there.
Because I think like the idea of, I mean, even back then, like obviously there's lots of different types of mentally insane people, but it feels like back then there was like two. There was crazy rocks talking guy and like, you know, I don't know, somebody who basically like those murders, they seem very, they don't seem to be in line with that kind of madness that they're talking about. Someone locked up in an asylum. It doesn't feel like that because, I don't know, it just, something doesn't smell right.
No. It's a very, it's a very sinister and calculated
crime.
Murder.
Absolutely.
In the way that like they've arranged everybody and to go to all the trouble of, like, you don't need to shoot a horse in the head. You don't need to, like, I've got to kill this horse or it might start talking. Like, they don't want revenge on the horse. This is revenge on, and to smash up the cart as well. This is revenge on Meneal.
Exactly, This is, I'm going to make a Meneal out of you. What?
Maybe he was McNeil and they didn't have any little
scenes.
Oh, I
think maybe.
It does
maybe
sound
McNeil,
like a McNeil and they shot
it. The other thing with that is I kind of implied it earlier on, but I think it's really weird that he found it by the tracks. And that he was like, I had a wobbly wheel, so I recognised the tracks.
Yeah, is that him like double covering, going like, oh, look, I found the crime scene. How would I have found the crime scene if I had anything to do with it?
But then there's a familial connection with the police as well. Like, they had a brother in the police force.
So connected. Everyone's in on it, I reckon. Massive conspiracy. Everyone in the whole of Gatton.
The whole town.
Do you go in for conspiracies, Ken?
I think now I do. After hearing all these, hearing all these different things, the suicide note, they're like, oh, here's a list of names and no one publishes them.
I've noticed you've blurred your background, Ken. Is there a wall with some bits of twine and photos? And what's happening back there?
That says Building 7.
Building 7, but it's a Gatton building.
This is my theory. I'd say it's definitely more than one. It smells culty, very much so. It smells very much like some part of it is because of the pointing and the direct, you know, where they've placed them. And the rug. The rug is the one thing I find really weird about this. It feels very
much
like
she was laid on a rug.
Yeah, that's an odd thing.
Yeah, they've got a rug out. They've cut and they, cuz maybe they want everyone to see that she's covered in blood. Oh god, I don't know. Maybe he was like, I'll wrap her in the rug and
and then he's
destroy
like,
the evidence. Then he got interrupted
bring a
by.
Rug.
He got
they
interrupted
brought a
by
rug to the.
Yeah.
To the crime scene. Yeah.
Unless he's like, already on the sulky.
Yeah. Why did I bring this rug?
The rug might have been on the sulky for comfort.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, so maybe he dragged her out by the rug, and you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe maybe whoever it was had been like, "Hey guys, such a shame the dance didn't happen. Can I get a lift back with you?" They're like, "Yeah, all right." And they go, hey, do you want to see a cool trick? Have you ever seen anybody whip a tablecloth off? And everything stays intact. I can do that. You all stay there sitting on the sulky. I'll pull it off from under you. Wham! He bangs his head.
Yeah.
She bangs her. She
so
goes flying.
Unfortunate.
Oh, fuck. The horse sees the gun on the floor and starts like nuzzling it like that. He's like, don't do that.
Gun goes off and he's like,
it's just a series of
rum.
Massive accidents.
No,
he's like,
no
one is
rum.
Going
put
to believe
down.
This.
He looks at the sulky and it just falls apart. And he's like, oh, God.
He looks at the rocks and the rocks are going, you're going down.
Yeah. The rocks doing shifty eyes like.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, it feels like a small culty thing, perhaps. Or at least a group. Definitely a group of people, more than one, probably smaller than, I don't know, 10. Within so maybe like between 5 and 10 people, I would say, that just kind of maybe not even 10. 10's a bit big, but I'd say like 5 or so, and they got together.
Too many cooks with 10.
Too many.
Trying to discuss arranging the triangle. Everyone's got a different opinion. No, I think it should be everyone's facing north to south.
Make it more of a trapeze.
Did you bring a set square? Did you bring a set square with you? I did bring
it. Okay, I'll slow out the horse. What? Why did you just slow out the horse? I'm on horse duty, don't worry, I got this. And I just hear a gunshot in the background. What the fuck, Steve?
It was Joe Exotic that did the horse.
He loves to shoot animals. He just bloody loves it. He can't stop himself.
Oh my god. What do you think, Ken? So you're in the
I'm with you on the cult.
Yeah.
Small group cult of town. Cult people, weird shit. Into weird shit.
Yeah. So some sort of sacrifice. It feels sacrificial in some
way.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of strange there's a part sacrificial, part motive.
Yeah.
Might be two things. And definitely weird that what's his face? Good old Thomas Day, the farmer. Thomas Day doesn't sound like a real thing.
No,
either.
Definitely.
I'm sorry.
Not.
Thomas Day is definitely there.
This happened a long time ago, and maybe the records got muddled when Stephanie Bennett was looking at them. But what if Thomas Day, who also known as Theo Farmer, was Joe Quinn?
Ooh, very possible.
What if Thomas Day and Theo Farmer are both two of those 300 aliases?
Yeah, very possible.
I mean, how do you even keep track of 300 aliases? I can barely keep track of my
one. You'd forget what you told
life.
People, wouldn't you?
Well, that's why he's got 300, because he couldn't keep track of them, and they just keep spiraling up and drop. He meant to have just two, and he's like, oh, where's
And they all had
the
something to do with what he was pretending to be at the time. So, like, Theo Farmer... Adam Barber.
It's me, Jimmy Murderer. Gotta go. This bird's gotta fly.
Yeah, it smashes the bulb and
Wouldn't
runs away.
Wouldn't it be great if like Joe Quinn was like a Peter Sellers person and he just played all the parts in this mystery? He was everyone.
Like Tom Berenger? No, it's another person in that terrible Murder of Crows movie. Have you seen that? The Cuba Gooding Jr. film?
No.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Pretty much that kind of thing of like there's a character who ends up being like, oh, it was that person. They were playing all these different parts that the character meets throughout the story. Although there's no indication that that's the case or that is even part of the story. You get revealed at the end. It's like, you know, the person gets shot and it's like, think back. And Cuba Gooding Jr. remembers like, you were the cop and you were this guy and you were this guy. And it's like, that's
fucking
garbage.
Peter Sellers.
Yeah, it's like, They go to their attic and they find all the wigs and all the things. Like, this is where he keeps all his aliases. This is where Quinn keeps all his aliases. It's like, yeah, someone, that's it. No, Thomas Day was real. And Thomas Day went to that attic and found all the wigs and all the things. And he's like, the man who set up the dance? And who is he? And he just...
You were the rock? Rock. That was you.
He just finds a tiny little tube of grey face paint and goes,
it's such a grey hat with googly eyes.
Oh shit.
I like that theory a lot, that he went full Murder of Crows on him.
I mean, I've got a theory.
What's your theory, Suze?
I'd like to deliver my theory. I think it's going to blow this case wide open. I'm going to deliver my theory through the medium of song. It's frontier times in Australia land, and we need to solve the murders of the Murphys. The killer or killers shot their horse in the head, and they even smashed up Meneal's sulky. Meneal. Who were the police protecting? Why'd they take so long? Did Richard Burgess do this with his rocks? Why'd the dance get cancelled? It just seems wrong. Wait, has that butcher got blood on his socks? But hang on a second, there's rumours this is a hoax. Are these murders made up? The answer is no. It's more likely this situation is a murder of crows. Let's get to the bottom of this. There's a suspect in it that we've all overlooked. He's the one who's pointed everyone's feet west. The horse killed them all, then realized his goose was cooked. He decided shooting himself right there. would be best. It was the horse that did it, and it wasn't a drinking game gone wrong, because horses can't drink. That would be silly. We didn't record it afterwards. Woo! We didn't record it afterwards or anything and then send it to Chris separately. That's not what we do in this lockdown scenario. We did it just then and everyone clapped.
I think you nailed it. I think that's that.
You think that's what happened? Cool.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Whatever it was, I think that's happened.
That's a good theory. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, no, it was really fun.
Ken, really, thank you so much.
That was an absolute joy. Anything exciting coming up for you?
Oh, no, nothing. My Twitter handle is at Ken Cheng Comedy.
Are you streaming or anything?
No, not yet. I might start streaming. I don't know why.
Ooh.
Masood, anything to plug?
I stream. I live stream.
Yeah, where have you... Go on, tell us where.
I'm every Tuesday and Friday, 9:30 to 11:30 on Twitch. Just search my name. At the moment, I'm playing retro games, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
That's fun.
So I'm playing Super Metroid.
Nice.
If you've got any questions, listener, do send them our way, because we're going to be doing isolation Skype episode. Video episodes for...
In the foreseeable.
This episode comes out on Thursday. The following day, we're doing our video isolation episode, where it's just us. And nice. If you want to send us a question, we will answer it. I'll probably shout the answer.
Do check that out. So episodes every Thursday. Do like the show, give us a little review on your preferred medium of choice. We're all doing various things. Check our Twitters. Suze, yours is
Suze UK, SOZUK. Also, I've just started Twitch streaming. When this has come out, I'm going to be Twitch streaming regularly, just singing and that. twitch.tv/SuzeKempner.
Cool.
Come and look at the lady. Oh, Chris, have you got anything to plug?
Not really. Just my Twitter, _Chris_Stokes.
Yes.
ChrisStokesComedy.com. I'm going to probably update that at some point, because I need to rethink everything now that the world has changed.
Yeah, it's all different now.
I've held off saying anything, but I think I'm going to either stream or YouTube a Doctor Who marathon. And sidestep comedy completely.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your lockdown. Whatever that means.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, Ken.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.